Well, during the week, I posted a picture on Facebook of me with a dog owned by one of the homeless people who eat at my Exodus Foundation food van. A lot of you were surprised that the homeless even had pets, but they do. In fact, they'll often go without food just so their dogs can eat first. Now, Matt French runs the RSPCA's Living Rough program that cares for these animals. Mate, the pets are often the thing the homeless love most in life, aren't they?
Oh, they sure are. And that's the reason that Living Rough was set up, is that there was an absolute need identified by the RSPCA to provide a service to people who are experiencing homelessness. And, you know, it's not just people that are living rough. It's people who are experiencing challenges in many aspects of their life. And for a lot of these people, the animal is the only thing that keeps them going, or it's just a deep connection that they have, and it gives them such purpose. And very rarely do we find animals in these situations that aren't being cared for. And if they need a little bit of help, it's often because they're just struggling, not because they don't want to. And this is the thing, it challenges people's ideas of where animals should be and what a pet animal is, and the quite incredible relationships that people have with their animals.
So what's the biggest difficulty the homeless face in caring for them?
Well, the reason we set the service up was that we were finding a lot of people just needed help. They needed some veterinary issues taken care of, their animals de-sexed, their animals vaccinated, flea and worming treatments, basic simple things that a lot of us take for granted in providing to our own animals. But also people who find themselves suddenly experiencing homelessness, or they're couch surfing, or you know, they're staying with a friend and all of a sudden they can't. They've got animals with them and they can't take their animals where they've got to go temporarily. A motel or crisis accommodation situation can't take them. A refuge can't have them housed with them. A friend can't have them because it fights with the dog that they've got at home. There's a whole range of challenges. So
So we
basically provide the service where we can temporarily house that animal for a person in a safe, secure environment.
So how does your service work, Matt?
So we get referrals from people who just ring and ask and say, look, I'm in a situation, what can you do? What we try to do is connect that person, if they're not already connected, with an agency that can help, so a human service agency. We can definitely manage the animal issues, but we need the help of those human service agencies, which we work with a lot, of course. But essentially, the animal comes in, we'll have it for as long as we need to have it, for as long as that person still needs services. If the animal needs any veterinary treatment, if it requires any other assistance, then we take care of all of that. There is a fee for it, but the fee is not requested back from that person straight away. You set people up on a payment plan. It's not about getting the money back. We just want to get the animal in, look after it. If a person can pay us back, that's great. If they can't pay us back, we're not going to send the debtors around, let's put it that way.
I'm talking with Matt French, the Community Development Manager for the RSPCA in New South Wales. Matt, you touched on this before, but I imagine another big problem, it's the lack of crisis accommodation that allows pets, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a complex issue. We also have a Safe Beds for Pets program, which is a domestic violence initiative. And it's a very similar service in that it provides that accommodation for people who find themselves in a position where they need to go, or they're experiencing homelessness.
So are you lobbying for more pet-friendly crisis accommodation?
Well, look, it'd be great because it'd take a lot of pressure off us, because we have limited space, we have limited resources. We only have a certain number of kennels, for example, for animals to go into, a certain number of staff to look after them. And some of these animals we might have for a week, 2 weeks. Some of them we have for 6 months. Some of them we have for 12 months. Depending on the particular situation, we try to get some of these animals out to foster care. So we have specialised foster carers, so the animals don't have to live in that institutionalised shelter environment. At any point, the owner can come in and visit their animal if they make an appointment with us. So there's all that sort of contact. And often the most stressful part of a person going through a crisis, whether it be homelessness, whether it be domestic violence, sometimes it can be being separated from their animal.
So I got to ask this, Matt. I just got to ask it. What's the most satisfying part of your job?
I think for me, the most wonderful thing, and it's a thing you wouldn't get in a lot of jobs, is to know that when you can say yes to somebody and you can help and you can provide a space and you can see and you can hear. If you're looking at that person, you can just see them respond to that. Or you hear them, sometimes we'll burst into tears on the phone because they're so grateful.
I'll just bet a wagging tail's a good reward too.
Look, and just to see when you've had an animal in care for some period of time and then you get the call to say that the owner's got accommodation, or the owner is in a better situation, or they're taken off the streets, or whatever it happens to be, and they come into the shelter, or we go and meet them, and you get, you know, Fluffy out of the car and you're handing over, and you've got that moment of you know, that moment of recognition of the dog and the cat, the ferret, the rabbit, the rat, you know, rats in care. We've had horses in care, you name it.
God bless you, mate. Thanks so much for talking to us tonight.
No problem. God bless you.